on digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook. The Sportscast. Basketball in March.
The update presented by The Sportscast.
Sportscast, March 25th, 2024. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, X, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. Visit our website, thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. Also, follow us on X at the Sportscast One and check out our app, the Sportscast for iOS. The U.S. men's national team streak against Mexico continues. I believe they're 13-0, 14-0, and things are going well for the U.S. after a little bit of a shakeup versus Jamaica. And join us all the way from L.A., Hal Phillips. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hey Santi, I'm always happy to be here. Yes, I'm live. I'm live from a remote location in Altadena, California.
Altadena, how far is that from Pasadena?
Oh, it's directly north. It's high. You know, it's Dina, but it's Alta. It's high, as you know. You're a better Spanish speaker than I. It's beautiful. It's right in the just on the way up in the mountains. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, like one thing about California is that there's a lot of different types of scenery, beaches, desert, and of course hills and mountains. So looking forward to it. But anyways, before we start, we got a word from our sponsors. In the rhythm of life, every tick of the clock holds a story. But how do we make every moment count? Meet Start Time, the simplest way to log, track, and optimize your time right at your fingertips. Start Time is designed for simplicity. With just a tap, begin logging any activity. And when you're done, hit stop. It's that easy. Wherever you are, Start Time knows. Our location detection feature automatically tags your logs, giving context to every second spent. Keep your day in perspective with a log tab. Every task, every moment, neatly organized and easy to review. Log, track, and optimize your time with a tap. Ready to make every moment count? Start with Start Time. Available now for iOS.
Start Time available for iOS. Well, last night, the U.S. are the only champions in the CONCACAF Nations League, defeating Mexico 2-0, a goal from Gio Reyna and Tyler Adams, who came back, who has not played for a while for club and country. Hal, I want to hear your summary over this huge victory last night.
Well, it's quite interesting that we're sitting here this morning talking about what a tremendous victory it was last night, and it was, because 48 hours prior, we were wringing our hands about how badly the U.S. had played against Jamaica and how lucky they were to get through that semifinal and into this final. But yeah, right now, the U.S. is 5-0-2, five wins and two losses in the last seven meetings between the U.S. and Mexico. It's the best ever performance by any American national team against the Mexicans by far. I mean, it really feels like the tide has turned here, and one wonders what the Mexicans are really thinking. In previous Nations League finals where they've lost, they've fired coaches. It's just not acceptable to lose to the U.S. this often and this thoroughly. They really were outplayed, and that scoreline is kind to the Mexicans in many ways. It was an amazing turnaround, and we can talk about just how well poised I think the U.S. was for this after that semifinal. Do you want to talk about that semifinal first?
Yes, let's go rehash at the beginning what built up towards this game against Mexico. So Jamaica scored in the first 30 seconds of the semifinal of the Nations League. And then towards the end of the match,
I believe it was like 30 seconds left of extra time left. We had a goal from one and only Haji Wright, who scored for Coventry a week ago, was a hero. And then they went to extra time. Haji, I think, believes he scored two more goals, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, hold on. The equalizing goal was an own goal, actually. And then Haji Wright scored the two goals in extra time. And that helped us beat Jamaica 3-1.
Well, look, the U.S. national team is very talented and very deep, but they are young. And against Jamaica, we saw how poorly they play against a team determined to just park the bus in front of them. Jamaica scored 30 seconds into the game. Not a bad goal, but pretty lucky. And basically withdrew and just dared the U.S. to come on to them for 90 minutes. And the U.S. looked bad. They looked they had no ideas beyond zinging the ball around the perimeter. They couldn't get the ball into the box at anyone's feet and really weren't that dangerous. And they were lucky to score that goal in the 95th minute. If you see the highlights, you'll see that Matt Turner, the goalie, was in the box. That's how desperate things were at the very end. But that goal came in and Haji Wright got just the smallest nick off of his head. And then it hit a Jamaican defender as a result of that. And bang, the game is tied and the game ends. They go to extra time and the U.S. dominate. Haji Wright scores twice. But they really should have lost that game, let's be honest. But when you think about it, when they had achieved that result, there's no way the Mexicans are going to do the same thing. The Mexicans are way too proud to pack it in against the U.S. They refuse to acknowledge that the U.S. is even an equal when it comes to this rivalry. They're certainly not going to play a defensive game or a defensive tactic against them. And in an open match, I just think the U.S. is better right now. And we saw that over and over again last night. They were way more dangerous. They had all sorts of options. And Mexico had very, very few.
One common theme that's been run in both these matches, Hal, you might agree with me on this one, is Gio Reyna, mm-hmm. a player that has not seen playing time for Nottingham and also Borussia Dortmund, came in both these matches. He assisted those two goals against Jamaica to Haji Wright, and then he scored against Mexico. And then there was a press conference in between those games that Berhalter was saying, well, you guys are telling me I should never brought him. Look what's happening. He's producing results. And I think he was spewing a little bit towards Jesse March, who is now a CBS Sports commentator, which is actually pretty good, actually. Tell us about that storyline. It's something, obviously, a year ago, there was issues between Claudio Reyna and Greg and Gio. It's still not continuing. It's a little bit more positive than a year ago. But your thoughts over this whole Gio Reyna storyline?
Well, let's start with what we know. Gio Reyna is a very talented offensive player. He just is. He's very young, but he's very, very talented. And he impacts the offensive movements of any team that he plays in. But here's what we also know. Greg Berhalter brought him to Qatar, even though he wasn't playing that much at Dortmund. And he wanted to use Reyna as a guy to throw on late in the game to get offense. That was the source of their contention. And what I call the Berhalter Reyna family barbecue that ensued. But now we have a lot more evidence of just what kind of player Reyna is and how other people other than Greg Berhalter view him. And it's all the same. The guy wasn't playing at Dortmund because while he's a great offensive player, he doesn't really do much going back the other way. Soccer is a two-way game. You've got to play defense even if you're a striker. And Reyna really is not even a striker. He plays behind the striker. So he really has more defensive responsibilities than your average striker. So he wasn't playing at Dortmund. Then he goes to Nottingham Forest. He's not even playing there. He got 38 total minutes in 2024. And a lot of people, including Jesse Marsh, said, geez, how can you bring a guy who's only played 38 minutes for his club and really play him at a tournament like this? Well, Jesse Marsh should know better. Claudio Reyna has a great deal of ability. And he can go forward for you. But look how he was used. He was used by Berhalter in the same way that Berhalter tried to use him in Qatar. Brought him on after halftime, and he changed the game. So, again, people are going to howl, and maybe they'll say, oh, Berhalter should be starting him. We don't even know if this guy can play 90 minutes. He's played 38 total minutes all year, all 2024. So I thought he used him brilliantly, and it worked great. I think the larger issue here is just how many options Berhalter has. Compare that to the Mexican team that really was punchless. What did they do? They brought Jimenez on for Artuna. Martin, their prime striker, I think he's one of the largest, you know, the best goal scorers in Liga MX, useless. Couldn't get anything done. Lozano doesn't even start for PSV with Ricardo Pepi, but he's a capable player. It wasn't good against the U.S. Did they bring anybody on for him? No, they did not. So what happens when Tyler Adams scores that incredible goal? He only played 45 minutes. They took him off. He was great. They took him off. They brought in, who did they bring in for Adams? They brought in Johnny Cardoso, who plays at Real Betis.
Great player.
What an incredible option. Now, who did they take off? They took I'm trying to figure out who they brought on for.
Let me pull up for you. I got it right here.
For Reyna. Who did they take off for Reyna? Did they start Reyna?
Reyna, yes. They started Giovanni Reyna, and then they switched him off in the 80th minute for Yunus Musah.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. He didn't start the Jamaica game. They brought him on in the second half, but and same thing. He didn't play the full 90 against Mexico either. But look at those options that they bring on. They brought on Cardoso. They brought on Tillman, who plays at PSV with Lozano and Pepe. I mean, and they have options up the yin yang here. And when they're not getting performance, they can bring on guys who can perform. Now, this is not a perfect team. We saw that against Jamaica. They did not have the first idea how to attack a team that packed it in against them. But that is not what Mexico is going to do against you. It's not what Uruguay is going to do against you. They're much too proud and much too skilled to say, oh, well, we're going to play the Americans straight up. We don't have to worry about them. Well, I think the U.S. does very, very well in that situation. So I'm very optimistic about the Copa America this summer, because when they play good teams, I think we're going to play very well against them. My worry is that they're not going to get results against Panama or Bolivia, who may well pack it in, park the bus against us. But we'll just have to see. Of course, they're going to get better. These very young players who are going to, with their clubs and with the national team, going to learn how to attack, you know, a team that is playing two blocks of four against you. But it's going to take a little time. But you don't have to worry about that against Mexico. They're way too proud to ever pack it in against us.
Yeah, which there was an argument about this morning on SiriusXM. I was listening, and there was they were asking, is Panama better than Mexico? Is Jamaica better than Mexico? Is Canada better than Mexico?
No.
Is Mexico lower their level of play lately? Or,
well, this isn't the greatest Mexican team ever assembled, but it's better than all of those teams that you just listed. But look, it's a matter of tactics, and if they're saying that on SiriusXM, they're being either foolish or they're gaslighting us a little bit, because when Panama plays the U.S., they're not coming to play us full out. They're not going to trade punches with us. They're going to pack it in and counter against us, just like Jamaica did, just like all the teams that are in CONCACAF except Mexico. Maybe Costa Rica plays us straight up at home, but they're not doing that when they come to the U.S. to play. It depends on the opponent. Mexico is a very skilled team. They're going to handle most teams in CONCACAF, and they have. But the U.S. is every bit their equal, and they've got to change their tactics a little bit about how they play with us. I was talking to Marion Reimers, who handles play-by-play for TNT Sports in Mexico, and she sees all these club teams in the Champions League, the CONCACAF Champions League, and we agreed, or I asserted, and she didn't disagree. The U.S. is a different kind of U.S. team. We have every bit of the midfield skill that the Mexicans have. They can't dominate the ball like they're used to doing against us. We've raised our game, and how they're going to respond to that, well, we shall see. I mean, but I guarantee you that when Mexico plays Argentina, they're going to let Argentina come on to them, and they will counter them, because there's no shame in having a world champion come at you and try and encounter them. But they're not going to do that against the U.S. They refuse. And I don't think we're honestly that good, but their tactics have to change.
Yeah, tactics have to change in Mexico. As Hal said earlier in the show, they're not afraid to get rid of the coach, which are coached in the middle of their 4 year cycle. So we'll see what happens with Mexico.
Right.
They've lost, I think, was 13 matches in a row.
To the U.S.?
To the U.S.
No. They beat us in 2019 3-0, I think it was before early in Berhalter's tenure, but it may have even been one of the interim coaches. I can't remember. But they've played seven times since then, and we're 5 wins and 2 ties. Oh, so that is hand wringing time.
That's impressive. Yeah, and you know the history of USA versus Mexico, so this is a good streak so far for us.
Yeah, here's where it gets really interesting, though. In terms of teams that Berhalter-led USMNTs have played, ranked above us or ranked similarly or above us in the FIFA World Rankings, I believe that Berhalter is now 5-6-4 or something like that. Every one of those wins was against Mexico. Wow. So Berhalter hasn't been able to beat other good teams, but he's certainly done a great job beating Mexico. And that's a big part of the U.S. head coach job. You know, you got to beat Mexico. They have the same brief on the Mexican side. But at some point, he's going to have to start beating other good teams. And that will be his opportunity to keep his job, I think, this summer. If he can get a win against Uruguay in that group and get us through to the knockout round. I think we talked about this last week in Group C. We have to obviously hold serve against Panama and Bolivia, and those will be tough matches because they will park the bus against us. But if we can beat Uruguay, we will win the group and we will get a lesser team in the quarterfinal. If we don't beat Uruguay, we're going to get Brazil or in fact, could be Mexico. I can't remember how they've divided that up.
It might be Colombia or Brazil. I got a feeling the group C.
Yeah, I think that's right. So yeah. It's going to be a difficult job if we don't win the group. But look, this team is supposed to be good. We should be able to beat Uruguay at home. We're at home. So we should be able to attack and go at them. And that'll be great theater. I can't wait for that match.
I cannot wait for this Copa America. Do you think this Mexico win will, you know, kind of gave us some boost of confidence for Copa America? Obviously, yeah, there's some friendlies before the Copa America against Brazil and all that. But is this like a big confidence booster?
Yes. And anytime you beat Mexico, it boosts your confidence. Mexico is a good team. They're not a great team, but they are a good team. They're our primary rival. And, you know, on Friday night, the U.S. could have been out of the tournament if they didn't get very, very lucky. But, you know, this team has things to work on. And one of those things is, you know, attacking a club that doesn't want to counter, do anything more than counter, and doesn't want to trade punches. The Mexicans wanted to trade punches with us. I think we do well against good teams when they do that. But more than that, I mean, if you're Berhalter or if you're a follower of this team, you just have to appreciate the fact that Haji Wright wasn't even going to be on this team until Josh Sargent couldn't show up because he was hurt. He comes in and scores twice against Jamaica. Reyna was a controversial choice, and he's not even playing for his club. He comes in, he dominated that last match and was tremendous. Tyler Adams played 45 minutes. He hasn't played all year for Bournemouth. He looked pretty good. And the guy he brought, you know, that they brought on for him after, you know, his mandatory minutes had been used up. They're saving him because he's coming back for a hamstring. Johnny Cardoso starts in the middle of the field for Real Betis in La Liga. These options have never existed for the U.S. before. And, you know, we can pivot quite well. Tim Ream, who played a very solid game in the back with Chris Richards against Mexico, he didn't even play against Jamaica. He's, you know, a very steady hand, very good with the ball at his feet, but not the fastest center back. He's about 35 years old, if I'm not mistaken. The idea that we can bring in Miles Robinson and fill that gap against a team like Jamaica that is very quick. Look, this team has options that we never had before. I'm 59 years old. I remember when we barely could field 11 competent guys. So the idea that we have all these options, it just shows you how far we've come.
Yeah, I totally agree. How the player pool is deep. When I was in the pub last night watching the match, we were talking about...
You watched the match in the tub?
No, in the pub. My bad.
The pub. Okay, pub.
And we were talking about how deep the striker pool has. You know, yeah. We had striker issues for the past, you know, years and other countries as well. But we have we have options, and we didn't have Josh Sargent this time around, which he's been scoring a lot of goals for his club, Norwich. And now we got Haji Wright, who was supposed to go to Dubai on vacation this past weekend.
Right.
And he got called up, and like he had like kind of think about it a little bit. Yeah, sure, I'll go. I mean, obviously, the question mark will be who will be our striker, our go-to. It feels like Balogun has been the default striker, but maybe it could be Haji Wright.
You know, it depends on the opponent. Put that graphic back up if you don't mind. Let's talk some tactics here. You know, when you play Haji Wright as a sort of a center forward with two wingers, Weah and Pulisic, do you necessarily need a guy like Reyna playing behind them? But the answer is that when you play Reyna, you are obliged to have him do that because he's not going to track back. So then you are attacking with four guys. Imagine Reyna playing more centrally. Then what happens? Tyler Adams and McKinney slide over and are really playing a two holding midfielder. Tactically, that's what they're doing. That's good. That means we're defending with six and attacking with four. And maybe McKinney gets into the attack more than someone like Adams. But of course, Adams scored the goal. Incredible flexibility that we have. A lot of teams won't be playing three strikers. When you play three strikers like that against a defensive alignment with four, a diamond back four, or even a straight across back four. Well, who marks three guys? That leaves one guy out. That's, a lot of teams will go to three in the back to mark. They have to change in order to defend a setup like this. But again, Reyna is the key. If Reyna's on the field, he's going to be behind those strikers. I think Reyna can play behind two strikers. And then you really have a lot of flexibility with how you go forward and how you come back, because we have options. With if Cardoso can come in and play, you know, either an attacking role, but more regularly a defensive ball winning role. Look, they just have a lot of options. And I think one of the things that we should mention was Weah was very dangerous in this game too. Pulisic was very dangerous. Should have scored early in the game. We had a lot of chances. We had, I would say, eight quality chances to score. And if the Mexicans had two, I would be surprised.
It would have been one heck of a game, which I saw the result. So interesting take. But, you know, before this game, you probably heard a lot of noise about Greg Berhalter, how a lot of anti-Greg Berhalter people out there on, well, at least on Twitter, but I know I've been hearing it on the radio as well, and also not much in the media, it's just here and there. But your thoughts on Berhalter? I guess, you know, he does have to perform a lot this summer, Copa America. Your thoughts on his situation as a coach for the U.S.?
Well, let's be clear. The coaching pool, when it comes to national team coaches, is thin. The best coaches do not coach national teams. The money is not as good as coaching big clubs. You're sort of sitting around doing nothing for months and months at a time. The best coaches coach clubs. And it's very hard to get them to take jobs like Greg Berhalter's job at a middling national team level where they're not going to make as much money. And I don't know that, you know, all this talk about who we could get, you know, for an actual coach makes any sense at all. The truth is that the American job isn't that attractive. Suppose the Mexicans fire Jimmy Lozano. And there's a lot of people talking about that happening now. You know, who replaces him? They're not going to be beating down the door to get that job. They fired the first three guys. So that's the first thing we have to understand, is that if they got rid of Berhalter, who are they going to get in his place? Is that person going to be any good? And don't talk to me about Jose Mourinho. I don't want anywhere near. I don't want him anywhere near this job. He is he's past his prime, and he's not going to play a forward-looking, attractive match of soccer. But let's talk about Berhalter and his tactics. People just are looking for something. They don't like the guy. They want to get rid of him. They think we can do better. I don't think we can do better. I don't necessarily love the guy, but I think he's handled his affairs very well. He's got to start beating teams other than Mexico. And if he can't do that, he's probably going to get the boot. But I don't know who you get to replace him. For some reason, I think American fans seem to think it's their obligation to find fault and call for a replacement of this coach or that coach, but they have no clue as to who might replace these guys. And if you're going to get a better option, if you can get Jurgen Klopp to come here, by all means, do it. Yeah, good luck with that. I think Berhalter has another thing going for him that, frankly, his critics just aren't paying attention to. They refuse to recognize that the players like the guy. They play for him. They think that he's doing the right things by them. He is protecting them. He's in, and look at Reyna. This was a guy that he had no relationship with at all a year ago. Now he's Reyna's champion. He's defending. He's bringing the guy in, even though he played 38 minutes in 2024. And what does Reyna do? He scores. He wins the game for us. So now Reyna and Berhalter have a relationship where they didn't have one before. That's good man management. You may not want to admit it, but it is.
Yeah. And let me read you a quote from Berhalter that he, well, I don't think I have it. Well, he did say pretty much, I'm going to summarize it, that he is part, he is a integral part of this team. And this is, and he belongs with this team. So we'll see what happens in this club situation. Obviously, with Nottingham, he's not, he's not playing as much. So we'll see what happens with this storyline on Gio, the not unlikely hero. He is a hero. We know he can play. We know he can pass. He can score.
Yeah, I mean, you have to pay attention to the way other national teams handle guys like this. Every decent national team has a guy like Gio Reyna. They have a guy that is a great attacker, but he doesn't necessarily play 90 minutes both ways. And that's a problem. It's an even bigger problem trying to figure out how to use this guy if he's not even playing for his club. Somehow, the coach at Dortmund and the coach at Forest think the same way about Claudio Reyna. They're not playing him regularly. Well, why not? This is why. We've talked about why. We understand why. So that's difficult man management when it comes to how he's used in a national team context. I listened to Jesse Marsch talk about Reyna leading up to these two matches. I didn't think he was trying to find fault with Berhalter. He's in the media now. He's giving analysis, and it is a risk giving a spot to Reyna and not someone else when he's played so infrequently for his club. But Greg Berhalter is not blind. This guy is a force with the ball at his feet. That is clear. And this is why people were calling for him to play more at the World Cup in Qatar. But you can't, you know, go out and play a match against England for 90 minutes in a group game with a striker who's only going to go forward. Only Messi gets to do that.
Jesse Marsch, you brought him up. Could he be a potential candidate for the U.S. men's?
Well, this is what makes it so sticky when he analyzes the situation involving the way Berhalter is choosing and deploying his team. He is one of the people that is, you know, in the pool of people that might coach this team if Berhalter were ever removed. I think that would be a big mistake. I like Jesse Marsch as a person. He seems like he's got charisma. He did pretty well at Leeds under a very intense scrutiny. Why hasn't Jesse Marsch been hired by anyone else? If this guy is so good, how come he's not being hired? And unfortunately, this is sort of what happens to anybody who is considered for a national team position anywhere in the world where the soccer is decent. Oh, you want him to come and coach the national team? Well, why isn't he coaching now? Why isn't he coaching at a club someplace if he's so good? The people who are generally up for these jobs are people like Jose Mourinho, who's been let go. I don't want to single him out, but all of these coaches that Jesse Marsch, the pool of coaches, are they just going to pick up and leave their high paying job in La Liga to come and coach us? I don't think that's the way it works. In fact, it's not the way it works. People just want to bitch about Berhalter, and he's got to love this result from that perspective. It shuts a lot of people up.
Exactly. Well, as we said, U.S. has won the CONCACAF Nations League. This summer is the Copa America, the one that is the Mac Daddy before the World Cup. So we'll see what happens. They got a friendly against Colombia and Brazil before the Copa America, so we'll see more action. And as Hal said, we have a player pool. We got deep, so hopefully we'll be seeing more of these players and more goals. And we got to beat a big team, like Hal said. We got to beat Uruguay. We got to beat a Colombia. Maybe Brazil. We'll see. It's doable. We just got to stretch our muscles. Hal, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about your book?
GenZero.HalPhillips.net is my companion site to Generation Zero, the book about how the U.S. soccer movement, the modern one, really took hold and full flight in the modern era. They can reach me there, and they can catch me on Threads at that same address, GenZero.HalPhillips, and on Instagram as well. It's all the same.
There you go. And you can
it's integrated.
Exactly. You can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1 on Instagram and X. And of course, we'll be looking at March Madness this week as things are starting to wrap up. And U.S. soccer is brightening. It is shining and looking forward towards the future. Hal, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Always my pleasure, Santi.